This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're going to start out with, you know what? I have a hard time figuring out the topics I want to talk about on the radio because I know there are certain things that are really just going to make people mad.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes I try to stay away from them.
It's also the day after the holidays, so like I feel like people are half checked in, half not checked
in. Yeah, no, I think that's true. I can definitely tell that. But I will admit, and this is obviously like normally one of the slowest news times in the world, the middle of summer,
yeah.
Not much happening. But I will admit I have been sucked into the vortex on the Joe Biden post-debate fallout and sort of the reaction and seeing the different sides react how they are. And I'm fascinated with it. I can't stop watching it. I'm flipping between the cable channels when I'm not at work pretty much every hour of the day because I want to see I want to see what's coming out with it. I want to see what's new. And I honestly kind of feel like we've hit a little wall today. I don't really feel like there's a lot new coming out other than the president's going to be doing an interview. And that'll be airing tonight with George Stephanopoulos. That's going to air on Channel 5, actually, at 7 o'clock.
And as we learned in the open, Donald Trump still does have two club championships under his belt. So that has not changed.
Boy, I went down the rabbit hole on that the video of him on the golf course.
Yeah.
With I won't say the name of one of my family members,
yeah.
And the family member is a Trump supporter, and she was not happy that video got released because they just didn't really feel if people were that close to Trump that they should really be recording him like that. And obviously, somebody had it out for him because they sent the video out.
Yeah.
All I've been thinking the last couple of days is how well Trump's been playing this whole thing by not saying anything, kind of like he did during the debate. He just sat back and let Joe go, and we all kind of know how that went. In fact, for those of you who perhaps missed it or need a little refresher, let's play a little clip there from the debate last week.
Make sure that all those things we need to do, child care, elder care, making sure that we continue to strengthen our health care system, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with the dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare.
Thank you, President.
I mean, it was disastrous. I don't think there's...
That was tough to listen to again.
It was tough to watch, honestly, but yet I could not stop, and I'm fascinated with it, but I'm also kind of getting bored with what the talking points are on this right now. And I'm going to pull a talking point from my beautifully intelligent 16-year-old daughter who I was watching some of this with. And she's a high school kid, right? She's got not much interest in what's going on other than this. And this is her observation. This is, she looks up, I'm watching back and forth between all the channels. And she looks up and I'm like, oh boy, here we go. And she's like, what? And she looks at me and she goes, why? I don't understand. Like, I don't understand. Why are there only two choices?
It's a million-dollar question.
Why are there only two choices? That was a question from my 16-year-old daughter. And I started kind of going down the normal, well, it's because blah, 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 you know. And then I'm like, well, I don't know. Is that actually even true? Why are there only really two choices? Or are there more choices than that? So we've got an expert on the line. You may have read him in USA Today. You may have seen him all kinds of other places. He's with Suffolk University. His name is David Paleologos. David, thanks for joining me. I said your name wrong, incorrectly. Tell me how do you say it correctly. I'm sorry.
No, you're pretty close.
I botched it. It's Paleologos, right?
There you go.
There we go. I left out a syllable. So thanks for joining us. And this was short notice, David, so I appreciate it. And I know you're in demand right now. You just had a piece that was in the USA Today talking about third-party candidates or the third-party impact Why don't you address that first? Because I said the whole notion that came from my daughter is, why are there only two choices? Are there two choices? Are there other choices?
So there are other choices, and your daughter is spot on, by the way, because if you go to Amazon, if she's shopping for a bag or a blouse or whatever, there are hundreds of choices to pick from. If you go into the supermarket, there are many boxes of cereal you can choose. But in the U.S., you really have every other party, and there are multiple parties that are boxed out of the process, not included in debates. And so we have this lesser of two evils kind of mentality. But the fact of the matter is that there are no states where there are only two choices. You know, if you look at Colorado in 2020, there were 21 candidates for president on the Colorado ballot. You know, Michigan, there were six. I think Minnesota, I think you had nine. You've got all kinds of different ballots and multiple candidates. And where it gets tricky is you got 40% locked in on the Democratic side, 40 on the Republican side. And the people in the middle, the people who are sick of Democrat, Republican, who are voting third party, directly impact the outcome in these elections. They did in 2016 and they did in 2020.
Do you think that this third party impact, based on everything that's happened with President Biden over the course of the last week, does that change? Does that shift?
It's hard to say. What we learned from the poll, and our poll came out right after the debate, we went in the field making calls, is that the people who are saying they'll vote for third party right now, their second choice is now Trump instead of Biden. And that's something I don't think the Biden team counted on, because these same voters, when we asked them who they voted for in 2020, they said Biden by 2.5 to 1. Now they are leaning towards Trump. So in essence, what the debate did was it didn't really kill Biden in a major way. I mean, he lost a few points to Trump, which is expected after the debate. But I think where it really hurt him was, now you've got these third-party voters who were Biden voters in 2020 who now are saying he's not my first choice or my second choice. And that's important, because I think Biden's campaign was counting on the Green Party coming back to Biden. Cornel West voters coming back to Biden. Some RFK voters coming back to Biden. And we're seeing that the debate has really cooled them, at least at the current point in time, away from voting for Biden.
So your expertise is you're obviously a political expert. Your expertise is in the polling and the numbers. We've got the Stephanopoulos interview that is going to air later tonight at 7 o'clock. I have not seen any clips or any of that floating around. Have you? I just want to double check. Yeah, I don't think so. It's not out there yet. I don't even know when they were actually going to record it. I know it's pre-recorded. It's not a live interview. So I will presume that President Biden will come across looking better after this interview.
Yeah, I mean, following the debate, I think anything's an improvement, right? So, there are a lot of experts on both sides of whether he should get up or not. Some people are doubling down and saying that, he's setting himself up for a comeback moment in either a September debate or in the fall, where people have counted him out, and then he kind of rises from the ashes like the phoenix and takes Trump in the end. But a lot of the internals, like I say, are not looking terribly, terribly optimistic right now. But, you know, a person that's been in office as long as Joe Biden, despite his age, has amazing survival skills, you know, to have been in office all that time. I mean, and you see incumbents getting knocked off here and there, and certainly after 20 years, they get knocked off of a higher probability. He's been in politics over 50 years, and he somehow survived. So it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds over the next couple of weeks, whether or not, you know, there's more of a clamoring to replace him or not.
So we're listening to a discussion here with David Paleologos. He is with Suffolk University, and talking more about presidential politics here, which is a big, big topic. Hearing from some of you right now, stylesfinancial.com, talking text line 651-461-9226. It's not okay. Neither of these candidates belong in the White House. Stop giving Trump a pass. That's somebody else saying. A lot of people are bringing up the fact that Trump spent a lot of that debate saying things that are not true. And I get that, and I understand that. And then I've heard the argument that, well, the president was right there. If the president could have fact-checked him on anything. I given the way Biden performed, I have a hard time thinking he was really going to be real-time fact-checking as that was going along. I don't know. It's interesting to think about what could happen, but I don't know, David. To me, the logistics of bringing in another candidate right now seems so complex. It almost seems like it's impossible to even make it happen.
Yeah, logistically, it's going to be really challenging, and then you're going to have factions that are going to potentially split. But I would say to your texter, because I agree with you that it was up for President Biden to have refuted him. But if your texter had 6 or 7 days with 16 experts coaching that texter for a week, he would have been prepared. If Trump says this, you say that. If Trump says this, you say that. And he did, and it didn't happen. He had a week. He had a week of preparation. He had the best of the best in that room briefing him. And so, you know, if he hadn't prepared, that's a different argument. Then you come back and say, well, he was overseas. He came back. He was doing presidential duties. He didn't have enough time to prepare, but he'll get it right the next time. But, I mean, in the lead up, we were all told he's well prepared. He's been briefed. He's got great people in the room with him and so on. And then it just seemed like either he wasn't properly briefed or he was briefed and he just whiffed. You know, he didn't seize the opportunity.
David, can you stick around with us for a couple minutes more?
Of course.
Okay, let's take a break. Let's talk more about this. Let's hear from more of you, stylesfinancial.com, talk and text line. What do you have to say about this? According to the number of texts that are coming in, you've got lots to say about it. 651-461-9226. You are listening to News Talk 830 WCCO. Little Huey Lewis in the news. It's Huey's birthday today, right?
74.
74. Happy birthday to Huey Lewis. Man, I don't know. Whenever I hear Huey Lewis, just makes me think of better times. I don't know. I just do. It's just
you can't not be in a good mood.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, it's
the '80s.
Even when you have the struggle with the debate and everything going on right now,
that's what
Huey
I mean.
Lewis makes everything go.
And I know politics have always been divisive, and they were divisive in the '80s, just like they are now. And there was discussion about the age of a president at the time in the 80s too, if we all remember the name Ronald Reagan, which I think we do. Well, most of us do. So this debate's out there. It's been going on forever. Many of you are quite passionate about your thoughts here about the performance, Joe Biden's performance at the debate, what happens next. He's got an interview tonight on ABC News. My name is Chris Eggert. I'm with Channel 5. That's my normal job. I'm filling in for Chad today. Happy to be here. And I know Chad does not like to shy away from controversy. So I thought we'd just start the show right off with some presidential politics. We've got David Paleologos. He's with us with Suffolk University. He's a pollster. David, again, I appreciate your time, and thanks for sticking around through the commercial break.
Of course. Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit more about, have you done any polling? Have you seen any polling on specific other names being thrown around? I know Kamala Harris would be the one that's already set up. She's already financially set up. She could already take over, still have access to all the money that's been raised. Have you seen any polling on other people?
Yeah, so Michelle Obama is the candidate, if she was a candidate, who would do extremely well in a general election. She solidifies African-American support. Right now, that's a little bit shaky. In some of the states, we poll Black Americans in Michigan and in Pennsylvania. Kamala Harris does have a little bit of a backlash, a little bit of a negative in the black community. Not a lot. She's overwhelmingly liked, but Michelle Obama clearly did. She outpolled Gretchen Whitmer among black voters in Michigan. And she outpolled everybody in Pennsylvania among black voters as well. And in the general election, general electorate, you've got, you know, other candidates, but they don't have the name rec that Kamala Harris does or that Michelle Obama has. So I think, you know, it's going to be hard to skip over Kamala Harris if a substitution were to take place. But I agree with you all. I mean, I think a substitution is really complicated and may do more damage than good.
I mean, you have heard, I've been reading for years about the idea that Michelle Obama, you know, could be the person to come in. But then again, I don't really think I've ever read Michelle Obama say anything about having any interest in becoming the president. And so that it's interesting that her name keeps coming up.
Yeah, she absolutely could turn this whole election around. And if more polling comes out showing that, some high-level people, you know, may sit her down and say, look, people aspire to be president over decades, over multiple years. All we need you to do is double down for 4 months. Be, you know, be that person for 4 months. Now, granted, you're going to be president for 4 years. You're going to have an important role. But, you know, for the, you know, the Democrats will say, for the sake of the country, you're the person who we know statistically will put this election away right here and now if you agree to be. But then, you know, you're jumping over Kamala Harris and who, you know, who becomes the VP.
And that is, I think that's such a tough and such a and a bad look too, right? Because Kamala Harris was picked for who she is and
that's
what
right.
she brings to the table. And then if you sort of step over her and bring in somebody else, I don't know, that's gonna alienate a lot of your supporters too.
Sure, it's a long shot for sure. But the difference between those two is, well, besides the fact that one wants to be or would love to be president, one doesn't want to be president. But the difference between those two is that independent. Kamala Harris's numbers drop off dramatically once you get outside of core Democratic voters. And you know, all Democrats do awful among Republican voters, but it's the all-important independent voters. And Harris doesn't have the kind of numbers, even compared to Joe Biden, among independents. Biden does better among independents than Kamala Harris. And let's face it, the game is won or lost now among the independents going forward.
Getting all kinds of comments coming in, stylesfinancial.com, talking text line 651-461-9226. David, before I go, I want to talk to you as a political expert. Again, David Paleologos, who's with Suffolk University, political expert, been around the block, you know these things. How about the debate rules? Because some of the people who are commenting are saying CNN was putting on the debate. It was up to the moderators to call Trump out immediately or warn him they'd stop the debate. That they wanted the moderators to be doing the job and doing the fact checking because the mics were closed. I don't even know that if President Biden had been capable at the moment of refuting the things that Trump were saying that weren't true with the mics closed. I don't know that he would have even had a chance. And Trump does Trump where he just talks and talks and talks. I don't know that the moderators, anybody could keep track of that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's a fair point, though, but the debate would just become a fact-checking exercise.
Right, right.
It wouldn't be a debate anymore, and on both sides, but more against Trump because he lied more. I mean, that the purpose of a debate is to show a lot of leadership skills beyond just standing at a podium. You know, it's how you think, it's how you navigate problems, it's how you're able to deal with adversaries like leaders of other countries and how to negotiate, how to be civil, and all of those skills that's why debates are so influential in helping us shape opinions, especially undecided voters, about candidates. And so I guess my pushback would be it's really, if you can't rely on the debate, on any debate moderators, regardless of the network and regardless of the personalities. And I thought the moderators did a fairly good job given the two characters that they had to moderate.
Yeah, I would agree with that, too. And to your point, they don't want to hear the moderators interrupting them all night. And then you're just hearing them talk. Like, the point of this is supposed to be hearing the candidates talk. So, well, David, thanks for your time today. I'm sure I know what you'll be doing at 7 o'clock tonight. And, your email will be blown up after that for the next 5 hours. So,
well, congratulations to all the listeners and the Minnesota voters, because Minnesota has been one of the most engaged states in terms of voting of the 50 states. Of course, Massachusetts is also up there, but Minnesota is always at the top in terms of voter engagement. So congratulations to your listeners, and keep up the good work. I wish every state were like Minnesota.
Yeah, we definitely turn out when it comes election day. So, David, thanks so much. Have a good rest of your weekend.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to News Talk 830 WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're going to start out with, you know what, I have a hard time figuring out the topics I want to talk about on the radio, because I know there are certain things that are really just going to make people mad.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes I try to stay away from them.
It's also the day after the holidays, so, like, I feel like people are half checked in, half not checked
in. Yeah, no, I think that's true. I can definitely tell. I can definitely tell that. But I will admit, and this is obviously, like, normally one of the slowest news times in the world, the middle of summer, not much happening. But I will admit, I have been sucked into the vortex on the Joe Biden post-debate fallout and sort of the reaction and seeing the different sides react how they are. And I'm fascinated with it. I can't stop watching it. I'm flipping between the cable channels when I'm not at work pretty much every hour of the day, because I want to see I want to see what's coming out with it. I want to see what's new. And I honestly kind of feel like we've hit a little wall today. I don't really feel like there's a lot new coming out, other than the president's going to be doing an interview, and that'll be airing tonight with George Stephanopoulos. That's going to air on Channel 5, actually, at 7 o'clock.
And as we learned in the open, Donald Trump still does have two club championships under his belt. So that has not changed.
Boy, I went down the rabbit hole on that the video of him on the golf course.
Yeah.
With I won't say the name of one of my family members, and the family member is a Trump supporter, and she was not happy that video got released because and like she didn't really feel if people were that close to Trump that they should really be recording him like that, and obviously somebody had it out for him because they sent the video out.
Yeah,
all I've been thinking the last couple of days is how well Trump's been playing this whole thing by not saying anything, kind of like he did during the debate. He just sat back and let Joe go, and we all kind of know how that went. In fact, for those of you who perhaps missed it or need a little refresher, let's play a little clip there from the debate last week.
Make sure that all those things we need to do, child care, elder care, making sure that we continue to strengthen our health care system, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with the dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare.
Thank you, President.
I mean, it was disastrous. I don't think there's...
That was tough to listen to again.
It was tough to watch, honestly, but yet I could not stop, and I'm fascinated with it, but I'm also kind of, I'm getting bored with what the talking points are on this right now. And I'm going to pull a talking point from my beautifully intelligent 16-year-old daughter, who I was watching some of this with. And she's a high school kid, right? She's got not much interest in what's going on other than this. And this is her observation. She looks up. I'm watching back and forth between all the channels. And she looks up and I'm like, oh, well, here we go. And She's like, what? And she looks at me and she goes, why? I don't understand. Like, I don't understand. Why are there only two choices?
It's a $1 million question.
Why are there only two choices? That was a question for my 16-year-old daughter. And I started kind of going down the normal, well, it's because blah, 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 you know, and then I'm like, well, I don't know. Is that actually even true? Why are there only really two choices? Or are there more choices than that? So we've got an expert on the line. You may have read him in USA Today. You may have seen him all kinds of other places. He's with Suffolk University. His name is David Paleologos. David, thanks for joining me. I said your name wrong, incorrectly. Tell me, how do you say it correctly? I'm sorry.
No, I
botched you. It's Paleologos, right?
There you go.
There we go. I left out a syllable. So thanks for joining us. And this was short notice, David, so I appreciate it. And I know you're in demand right now. You just had a piece that was in the USA Today talking about third-party candidates or the third-party impact. Why don't you address that first? Because I said the whole notion that came from my daughter is, why are there only two choices? Are there two choices? Are there other choices?
So there are other choices, and your daughter is spot on, by the way, because if you go to Amazon, if she's shopping for a bag or a blouse or whatever, there are hundreds of choices to pick from. If you go into the supermarket, there are many boxes of cereal you can choose. But in the U.S., you really have every other party, and there are multiple parties that are boxed out of the process, not included in debates. And so we have this lesser of two evils kind of mentality. But the fact of the matter is that there are no states where there are only two choices. You know, if you look at Colorado in 2020, there were 21 candidates for president on the Colorado ballot. You know, Michigan, there were six. I think Minnesota, I think you had nine. You've got all kinds of different ballots and multiple candidates. And where it gets tricky is you got 40% locked in on the Democratic side, 40 on the Republican side. And the people in the middle, the people who are sick of Democrat, Republican, who are voting third party, directly impact the outcome in these elections. They did in 2016 and they did in 2020.
Do you think that this third party impact, based on everything that's happened with President Biden over the course of the last week, does that shift?
It's hard to say. What we learned from the poll, and our poll came out right after the debate, we went in the field making calls, is that the people who are saying they'll vote for third party right now, their second choice is now Trump instead of Biden. And that's something I don't think the Biden team counted on, because these same voters, when we asked them who they voted for in 2020, they said Biden by 2.5 to 1. Now they are leaning towards Trump. So in essence, what the debate did was it didn't really kill Biden in a major way. I mean, he lost a few points to Trump, which is expected after the debate. But I think where it really hurt him was now you've got these third-party voters who were Biden voters in 2020 who now are saying he's not my first choice or my second choice. And that's important, because I think Biden's campaign was counting on the Green Party coming back to Biden, Cornel West voters coming back to Biden, some RFK voters coming back to Biden. And we're seeing that the debate has really cooled them, at least at the current point in time, away from voting for Biden.
So your expertise is you're obviously a political expert. Your expertise is in the polling and the numbers. We've got the Stephanopoulos interview that is going to air later tonight at 7 o'clock. I've not seen any clips or any of that floating around. Have you? I just want to double check.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's not out there yet. I don't even know when they were actually going to record it. I know it's pre-recorded. It's not a live interview. So I will presume that President Biden will come across looking better after this interview.
Yeah, I mean, following the debate, I think anything's an improvement, right? So, and I, you know, there are a lot of experts on both sides of whether he should get out or not. Some people are doubling down and saying that, you know, he's setting himself up for a comeback moment in either a September debate or in the fall, where people have counted him out, and then he kind of rises from the ashes like the Phoenix and takes Trump in the end. But a lot of the internals, like I say, are not looking terribly, terribly optimistic right now. But, you know, a person that's been in office as long as Joe Biden, despite his age, has amazing survival skills, you know, to have been in office all that time. I mean, and you see incumbents getting knocked off here and there, and certainly after 20 years, they get knocked off of a higher probability. He's been in politics over 50 years, and he somehow survived. So it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds over the next couple of weeks, whether or not, you know, there's more of a clamoring to replace him or not.
So we're listening to a discussion here with David Paleologos. He is with Suffolk University, talking more about presidential politics here, which is a big, big topic. Hearing from some of you right now, stylesfinancial.com, talking text line 651-461-9226. It's not okay. Neither of these candidates belong in the White House. Stop. Stop giving Trump a pass. That's somebody else saying. A lot of people are bringing up the fact that Trump spent a lot of that debate saying things that are not true. And I get that, and I understand that. And then I've heard the argument that, well, the president was right there. If the president could have fact-checked him on anything. I given the way Biden performed, I have a hard time thinking he was really going to be real-time fact-checking as that was going along. I don't know. It's interesting to think about what could happen, but I don't know, David. To me, the logistics of bringing in another candidate right now seems so complex. It almost seems like it's impossible to even make it happen.
Yeah, logistically, it's going to be really challenging, and then you're going to have factions that are going to potentially split. But I would say to your texter, because I agree with you that it was unprecedented for President Biden to have refuted him. But if your texter had 6 or 7 days with 16 experts coaching that texter for a week, he would have been prepared. If Trump says this, you say that. If Trump says this, you say that. And he did, and it didn't happen. He had a week of preparation. He had the best of the best in that room briefing him. And so, you know, if he hadn't prepared, that's a different argument. Then you come back and say, well, he was overseas. He came back. He was doing presidential duties. He didn't have enough time to prepare, but he'll get it right the next time. But I mean, in the lead up, we were all told he's well prepared. He's been briefed. He's got great people in the room with him and so on. And then it just seemed like either he wasn't properly briefed, or he was briefed and he just whiffed. You know, he didn't seize the opportunity.
David, can you stick around with us for a couple minutes more?
Of course.
Okay, let's take a break. Let's talk more about this. Let's hear from more of you. StylesFinancial.com, talk and text line. What do you have to say about this? According to the number of texts that are coming in, you've got lots to say about it. 651-461-9226. You are listening to News Talk 830 WCCO. Little Huey Lewis in the news. It's Huey's birthday today, right?
74.
74. Happy birthday to Huey Lewis. Man, I don't know. Whenever I hear Huey Lewis, just makes me think of better times. I don't know. I just do. It's just
you can't not be in a good mood.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, it's just
it's the 80s.
Even when you have the struggle with the debate and everything going on right now,
that's what I mean.
Huey Lewis makes everything go.
And I know politics have always been divisive, and they were divisive in the 80s, just like they are now. And there was discussion about the age of a president at the time in the 80s too, if we all remember the name Ronald Reagan, which I think we do. Well, most of us do. So this debate's out there. It's been going on forever. Many of you are quite passionate about your thoughts here about the the performance, Joe Biden's performance debate, what happens next. He's got an interview tonight on ABC News. My name is Chris Eggert. I'm with Channel 5. That's my normal job. I'm filling in for Chad today. Happy to be here. And I know Chad does not like to shy away from controversy. So I thought we'd just start the show right off with some presidential politics. We've got David Paleologos. He's with us with Suffolk University. He's a pollster. David, again, I appreciate your time, and thanks for sticking around through the commercial break.
Of course. Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit more about, have you done any polling? Have you seen any polling on specific other names being thrown around? I know Kamala Harris would be the one that's already set up. She's already financially set up. She could already take over, still have access to all the money that's been raised. Have you seen any polling on other people?
Yeah, so Michelle Obama is the candidate, if she was a candidate, who would do extremely well in a general election. She solidifies African-American support. Right now, that's a little bit shaky. In some of the states, we poll Black Americans in Michigan and in Pennsylvania. Kamala Harris does have a little bit of a backlash, a little bit of a negative in the Black community, not a lot. She's overwhelmingly liked, but Michelle Obama clearly did. She outpolled Gretchen Whitmer among Black voters in Michigan. And she outpolled everybody in Pennsylvania among Black voters as well. And in the general electorate, you've got, other candidates, but they don't have the name rec that Kamala Harris does or that Michelle Obama has. So I think, it's going to be hard to skip over Kamala Harris if a substitution were to take place. But I agree with you all. I mean, I think a substitution is really complicated and may do more damage than good.
I mean, you have heard, I've been reading for years about the idea that Michelle Obama, could be the person to come in. But then again, I don't really think I've ever read Michelle Obama say anything about having any interest in becoming the president. And so that it's interesting that her name keeps coming up.
Yeah, she absolutely could turn this whole election around. And if more polling comes out showing that, some high level people, may sit her down and say, look, people aspire to be president over decades, over multiple years. All we need you to do is double down for 4 months. Be that person for 4 months. Now, granted, you're going to be president for 4 years. You're going to have an important role. But, the Democrats will say, for the sake of the country, you're the person who we know statistically will put this election away right here and now if you agree to be. But then, you're jumping over Kamala Harris and who becomes the VP.
I think that's such a tough and such a and a bad look too, right? Because Kamala Harris was picked for who she is and
that's
what
right.
she brings to the table, and then if you sort of step over her and bring in somebody else, I don't know, that's gonna alienate a lot of your supporters too.
Sure, it's a long shot for sure, but the difference between those two is, besides the fact that one wants to be president or would love to be president, one doesn't want to be president, but the difference between those two is that independence. Kamala Harris's numbers drop off dramatically once you get outside of core Democratic voters, and all Democrats do awful among Republican voters, but it's the all-important independent voters. And Harris doesn't have the kind of numbers, even compared to Joe Biden, among independents. Biden does better among independents than Kamala Harris. And let's face it, the game is won or lost now among the independents going forward.
Getting all kinds of comments coming in, stylesfinancial.com, talking text line 651-461-9226. David, before I go, I want to talk to you as a political expert. Again, David Paleologos, who's with Suffolk University, political expert, been around the block, you know these things. How about the debate rules? Because some of the people who are commenting are saying CNN was putting on the debate. It was up to the moderators to call Trump out immediately or warn him they'd stop the debate. That they wanted the moderators to be doing the job and doing the fact checking, because the mics were closed. I don't even know that if President Biden had been capable at the moment of refuting the things that Trump were saying that weren't true. With the mics closed, I don't know that he would have even had a chance. And Trump does Trump where he just talks and talks and talks. I don't know that the moderators, anybody could keep track of that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's a fair point, though. But the debate would just become a fact-checking exercise.
Right, right.
It wouldn't be a debate anymore, and you know, on both sides, but more against Trump because he lied more. But the purpose of a debate is to show a lot of leadership skills beyond just standing at a podium. You know, it's how you think, it's how you navigate problems, it's how you're able to deal with adversaries like leaders of other countries, and how to negotiate, how to be civil, and all of those skills. That's why debates are so influential in helping us shape opinions, especially undecided voters, about candidates. And so, I guess my pushback would be, it's really, if you can't rely on the debate, on any debate moderators, regardless of the network and regardless of the personalities. And I thought the moderators did a fairly good job, given the two characters that they had to moderate.
Yeah, I would agree with that, too. And to your point, they don't want to hear the moderators interrupting them all night. And then you're just hearing them talk. Like the point of this is supposed to be hearing the candidates talk. So, David, thanks for your time today. I'm sure I know what you'll be doing at 7 o'clock tonight. And, your email will be blown up after that for the next 5 hours. So,
well, congratulations to all the listeners and the Minnesota voters, because Minnesota has been one of the most engaged states in terms of voting of the 50 states. Of course, Massachusetts is also up there, but Minnesota is always at the top in terms of voter engagement. So congratulations to your listeners, and keep up the good work. I wish every state were like Minnesota.
Yeah, we definitely turn out when it comes election day. So, David, thanks so much. Have a good rest of your weekend.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. We'll be right back. You're listening to News Talk 830 WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.